Live from San Francisco on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network, you are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with your hosts, Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi.
Are you ready?
Let's get it on!
How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio. This goes on and on, the most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. We have a packed show here today. We're going to be joined in about a half hour by good old JR. Jim Ross is going to be on the show today, talking all sorts of topics. We'll talk the news, we'll talk his WrestleMania weekend shows, and so much more. Jim Ross is going to be on the show today. I'll be on Jim Ross's podcast next week, I believe. We'll be talking SummerSlam, so we'll get Jim on today. I'll be on his show next week. You can check it out at Podcast One, Jim Ross's podcast. Head up there and check that out. We do have a lot of news today. This from the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. Here on Paige's birthday, WWE announced Wednesday that Alberto Del Rio has been suspended for 30 days due to a wellness policy violation, effective Thursday. Company statement, WWE has suspended Jose Rodriguez for 30 days, effective tomorrow, Thursday, August 18th, for his first violation of the company's talent wellness policy. Suspension is standard for a first-time violation. What caused the violation? Not currently known. It is also not known when WWE was informed of the failure, but Del Rio worked SmackDown last night in a losing effort against John Cena in the show's main event. Del Rio returned to the company in 2015 after spending a year outside the promotion. He was released in 2014 for unprofessional conduct after getting into a backstage altercation with a company employee who allegedly made a racist joke. He was drafted to SmackDown during the draft. It is not clear if the violation will have any effect on his immediate future. Well, it clearly will. Although it is interesting, they're suspending him tomorrow and not today. I guess because now he'll miss two pay-per-views. Back in a moment, Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
And now, insurance-minded speeches from Geico.
Hardship. My grandmother would go through it every month to pay her insurance bill. First, she would handwrite a paper check, in cursive. Then, using her own tongue, she would wet a stamp for an envelope. Today, however, we need not weary our hands and tongues. Today, we can pay our Geico bill with the Geico app. Away with hardship, in with bill pay on the Geico app. Thank you.
And now today's gardening tip. Over 50% of the country is experiencing drought conditions. Wilt from drought and summer stress can severely damage lawns and ornamental plants and dramatically reduce yields for commercial farms and home vegetable gardens. Not to mention the average cost of water has increased 48% since 2010. Lawn care professionals, golf course superintendents, and sports field managers have found an effective product to maintain great-looking plants with less water that is now also available to homeowners. And now a word from Hydratein.
Is your lawn fried from heat and drought stress? Flowers wilted? Tired of constantly watering? Not to mention high water bills? Then do what the pros do to reduce watering by up to 50% or more. Use Hydratein and you'll water less while maintaining beautiful lawns, landscapes, and gardens. Hydratein is an environmentally responsible solution that has been used for years by top golf courses and landscape professionals. Now available to you. Ask your lawn service or local garden center for Hydratein. To learn more or to order directly, visit our website at youwaterless.com.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation
at 800-760-4895, 800-760-4895.
We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-760-4895. 800-760-4895. 800-760-4895. That's 800-760-4895.
America was built by people with a few dollars and a dream. And while many don't know it, there's one path to success that still only requires a dream and about $10. That's right. If your dream is to start or grow your business, something as simple as the right business card could make all the difference. And today, at Vistaprint.com, you can get 500 full-color business cards for only $9.99. That's right. Only $9.99. Just go to Vistaprint.com and enter promo code 6000 at checkout. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code 6000.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
So as I look through the list of upcoming WWE pay-per-views, including the next SmackDown exclusive show in September, I still have absolutely no idea why Del Rio isn't being suspended until tomorrow. Because whether he's suspended today or tomorrow, he's definitely missing that pay-per-view. It's September 11th. So I have no explanation for it. It's just what they decided to do. Completely at random, it appears. Maybe they want him to celebrate Paige's birthday before they lay down the hammer. But yes, Del Rio has been suspended. And I believe that he can get out of his contract, or he has the ability to go elsewhere in a couple of months. I don't know if we'll ever see him in WWE again.
I guess if I'm WWE, I don't do this. If this was like an actual sport, this is one of those times where it's just
you don't
like,
suspend him?
Well, no. Both sides should just look at each other and go, hey, no strings attached. Let's just not even shake hands. Let's just turn around and go our separate ways. This has been one of the worst relationships. And really too bad, too, from how the thing started. Because when he first came to WWE and first got to SmackDown, because if people don't know, the signing of Dos Caras Jr. and his unmasking in Florida, there was a process to get him there, and it's like, okay, how's this going to be? And he finds this character that was, frankly, outstanding from the vignettes. I mean, everything about Alberto Del Rio when he began with Ricardo Rodriguez, everything about it was just fantastic and really was a great extension of a long line of a traditional, arrogant, rich, cocky, aristocratic wrestling bad guy. And there was so much hope for this, you know, being from, you know, Mexican and the whole nine yards. He reinvented himself so great, and they reinvented him so well from this guy that, you know, if anybody had known him before, they didn't know this new guy now. And to see the devolution of what's happened with him, some of the turns, some of the ways they've treated him, the first time around, was bad enough. The second time around is almost comedic, and this whole relationship has been just one where, again, if and I can understand why WWE wouldn't want to do this, and you want to hold him to keeping him out of somebody else's hands for as long as you possibly can. But again, if this was any other sport, or in a lot of ways any other business, it would just be a shake of the hands, and that's it.
It was all downhill after Ricardo Rodriguez was removed, but what can you do? That's the latest, everybody. He headlined SmackDown against John Cena last night. They actually had a long back-and-forth match. Kind of surprising if they're suspending the guy the next day, and they had to have known last night. I don't know for sure, but I presume they did. But
they've known this, I bet you, and I don't know, and I'm just speaking out of my rear end here. It's just a gut feeling. I bet you they've known this for longer than we'd probably guess.
I don't know about that. Because I had heard following the Lesnar deal with UFC, I was sort of told after he got popped that there probably was going to be a test coming up soon in WWE. So we're not talking months here. I would bet that they tested him sometime within the last week or two. But one way or the other, he's suspended. So happy birthday, Paige. That's all anyone can talk about is the strange coincidence that it just happened to come down today.
So sort of like CM Punk getting his letters on his wedding day?
All a coincidence.
Of course it is.
WWE, it says, should be very happy the Olympics are ending this week. Raw was up very slightly from 2.90 million viewers last week to 2.91, going against the Olympics. Two lowest non-holiday numbers since 1997. Raw stayed virtually identical, while the Olympics number fell from 28.76 million to 24.27 million. So that does suggest that this is not all a decline based on the Olympics, although I'm sure much of it is. Numbers should rebound strongly next week, it says, because it's coming the day after SummerSlam. First hour, 2.88 million. Third hour, 2.78. The second hour did, in fact, break 3 million, just barely. 3.08 million viewers. So that's the Raw numbers. We'll see. Raw was so totally pre-Raw Raw on Monday, if that makes sense. All of these big changes. The first Raw after the draft was great. Everybody was so excited. It's literally exactly back where it was before the draft, but there's less talent. And of the two shows, SmackDown was a better show this week. I don't think there was anything on it. I just watched it. I can't think of anything on it that was must-see. I guess maybe the AJ Styles-John Cena deal that they did after the main event. AJ was doing commentary, and he hit the ring, and he beat up Cena. And then John Cena made his own comeback and laid him out with the AA off the steps through the announcer's table. Now, John Cena is going to film American Grit 2, which is a story in and of itself because American Grit 1 didn't do very well, and they decided they were going to do a second season. What do they call it? They renewed it. They renewed it. So
hopefully they remix it, and there's like an alligator pit and everything else. Maybe that's why they're bringing it back. We're going to get a dramatic type of like when they redid roller derby with like the alligators in the pit and all these extreme things. Maybe it's going to be extreme weight loss with John Cena and American Grit 2.
Well, all I know is John Cena pinned him in a tag match at the last pay-per-view, and John Cena is going to be out of action doing American Grit, and so I don't see any reason that John Cena should be beating AJ Styles at SummerSlam. AJ Styles should win that match, and then he should be next in line for, I presume, Dean Ambrose, but who even knows what the Dolph Ziggler storyline they're doing. I mean, this Dolph Ziggler storyline, if this guy doesn't win, he has to turn heel. There is zero options if Dolph Ziggler does not win this title.
He turns into the Colonel. All the time.
He's already the Colonel. No, he wasn't.
All the time, though.
No, he wasn't the Colonel. That's right. Miz was the chicken.
Uh-huh.
If you have no idea what we're talking about, after SmackDown went off the air, they did a promotional segment for Kentucky Fried Chicken. I'm not making any of this up. Dolph Ziggler, the number one contender to the World Heavyweight title, came out dressed as Colonel Sanders, and Miz, the Intercontinental Champion, came out dressed as a chicken. And Colonel Sanders beat the chicken in the middle of the ring. Yeah.
I loved it. I like chicken, number one. Number two, look, it's 2016. And if this were taking place on Raw or even on SmackDown, and it will air on SummerSlam, I guess I would sort of see people getting a little bit more upset. But it's 2016. Look what we see with advertisements. We're starting to see, you know, formerly jerseys on TV, sports jerseys, never had any sort of accompaniment to it. You know, it's like a WWE ring. You're not going to see advertisements on jerseys. That's something that foreign countries do. Well, we're seeing that more and more now. We're starting to see it creep in more and more. And that's just one of those crossover things that happens. And that's one of those things where it's like, you know, you're getting upset. You're watching wrestling in 2016. Come on. I mean, really?
I don't mind it.
I mean, he looked like a great colonel, too. He was a far better colonel than Jim Gaffigan was.
I just think it's funny that would they ever send Brock Lesnar out there dressed like a chicken? Would they ever have sent Sting out
the shark
in 1997 dressed as a chicken? Did they ever send John Cena out there dressed as a chicken? Of course not. But Dolph gets to be a chicken. No, he's
no,
the colonel.
Fool. Miz is the colonel. That's good.
It doesn't
good.
Matter.
You
would they ever send
about
Brock
Miz
out
the
there
chicken.
As the colonel? Of course not. Of course
yeah,
not.
Yeah, but would you use Brock to in an ad that would be equivalent to him if you had one, which had some crossover but didn't exactly, wasn't all about the pro rest? I mean, come on. You know, this one.
In his lifetime, Brock Lesnar will never dress up like Colonel Sanders or a
chicken. F5 the shark.
He did.
Brian.
Yeah, he wasn't the shark. They didn't dress him up like David Hasselhoff.
Brian, all of these guys, remember the speed dating, which actually was kind of funny, the speed dating thing? And remember the WrestleMania promos, the Hollywood Goes Hollywood? Those were great, but they were goofy as hell, but they were actually great.
You know what? I'm sure it was awesome. I just know that when I watched serious Dolph Ziggler, where this is the only thing that's important in his life, an hour later come out dressed as Colonel Sanders, Dean Ambrose was right. Back in a moment, Observer Live, Sports Byline USA. Radio Network. Bum stickity bum stickity bum hunt. I got that up for a pump pump, but I can feed by a bold deadly bum. Here I come, so feed a piper. I'm hyping up Pinocchio's nose, cause I'm a super califragilistic tic tac toe. I gave a oopsie daisy, now you got the crazy.
Here's an urgent alert from the Student Loan Hotline. The average student loan debt is $25,000. Have you been out of college for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? If you are struggling with paying off your student loan, if you are past due, we can help. Nationwide Student Loan Relief can now restructure your student loans. We can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop harassing collection calls, and even eliminate your student loan payment. If you can't afford your student loans, or if you're past due and you need help, you must call right now. We will restructure your loan or your money back, and that's a guarantee. So call the Student Loan Hotline right now. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707.
When you struggle with credit card bills every month, you're not just in debt. Debt is all around you.
I see people every day that are on the brink. They're going to go over the edge, and at the bottom is bankruptcy, and we pull them back.
At the Debt Helpline, we're experts at helping you resolve your debt problems and become free of debt. We can help you pay off your debt and give you one lower monthly payment that you can afford.
You do get to consolidate your payments. You only have to worry about making one payment a month instead of making three or four or five.
If you have $5,000, $10,000 or more in credit card bills, call the Debt Helpline now for a free confidential debt analysis.
800-957-6063. 800-957-6063. Call the CESI Debt Helpline right now for a free, confidential debt review. 800-957-6063. 800-957-6063.
If you or someone you love suffers from drug addiction, now is the time to utilize your private health insurance PPO plan. If eligible, receive up to $30,000 or more in substance abuse benefits with low or no out-of-pocket cost. We are the National Treatment Network, the premier drug and alcohol treatment referral service operating 24/7. We help connect you with facilities nationwide that accepts PPO private health insurance for substance abuse. If you have PPO substance abuse coverage and you need immediate admittance to a medical detox or residential rehab treatment center, call us now. Call our live referral helpline today. The call is free. This program is not available to Medicare or Medicaid customers.
Call 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. That's 800-296-0906.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are going to be joined by Jim Ross here in about 15 minutes. I got a bunch of text messages and more here. This person says, I would love a Brock Lesnar Jimmy John's commercial where he eats a sandwich in one bite. Cool! That'd be neat.
An all-meat sandwich. Although, you know what?
Maybe, he wouldn't be dressed as Colonel Sanders. That's the point.
Man, Jimmy John's Subway fight. Like, you're really worried about Colonel Sanders. You should be actually happy about
this. I'm not even
worried
about it. Listen.
Your boy, the Miz, was the San Diego chicken and got beat up. You should think that's perfect for what he is.
It is. Miz is a mid-card geek, so I have no problem with him being the chicken. Listen, I don't even have a problem with Ziggler being the Colonel. I just think it's funny that the show opened with him having to act like, I'm not what everybody thinks I am. I'm serious. I'm going to win this title. This is all I care about. I've got what it takes. And then he comes out an hour later dressed as Colonel Sanders. That's funny, okay? That's funny. See?
Does that make money?
Of course not. I mean, maybe for WWE. You think he's going to pay off to be the Colonel for a night? I doubt it.
Actually, you know
maybe
what?
Maybe he is.
He could pimp himself.
Dude, I'm not
the
saying I wouldn't do it. You want to dress me up as a colonel for a sponsorship deal for this show? I'll do this show dressed as Colonel Sanders. That's fine. I don't care.
I'll take free chicken. And
you dress as the chicken.
I'll be the chicken. Are we getting paid? I'll be the chicken.
See, look at how easy that is.
Cody Rhodes probably would have been a good colonel. I wonder if Cody, if he was still there, he'd be colonel. And you know what? I could see him. Never mind. I'm not going
to
go there.
Person wants to know if Del Rio is going to use Paige's exploding ovaries excuse. I almost said Avery's. Sorry, Mike.
He's exploding in the other room right now being loud, so I can't wait till school starts.
This person says, not sure if he's been doing it or not for a while, but last night Del Rio had El Patron on the back of his trunks. Well, that is his alternate gimmick. And that is what he's going to use if he gets out of WWE, unless they manage to trademark that when he wasn't paying attention.
I say that they're so tone deaf with that he got away with getting trademarked in the first place. I mean, they're not going to trademark that unless that was part of the deal with him coming back. That's his, unless I'm completely out of it. So, yeah, that was a real good move by him. And really, again, they want to create a Mexican star. They have been talking about this for a long time. They have not been able to do it since Rey Mysterio. In fact, if Rey Mysterio were to come back, they would fall right back onto him again. Again, talking about in the first segment, how they blew it with Del Rio the first time around and the second time around. We talked about it yesterday with him coming back in Los Angeles. To blow it again with that fan base, too, that was handed to you on a silver platter, just is something to shake your head at.
This person says, don't you think the wrestlers on Raw now have to deal with even more overexposure? They appear once a week, but they all do 10 to 15 minute promos that drag and make me less excited about them. Since when did they not? They did that before the draft. Is there an imaginary world where everybody did 2 minute promos, but now on Raw they do 20 minute promos? Nothing has changed about Raw. Nothing.
But it feels longer. You know,
it does?
Again, actually, I think it does as far as, like, we all know the Seth Rollins one dragged on forever. But I think, I just think it feels now, again, like, as long as some of these skits were before, they even feel longer now. Just because there are so many people that are off the show and we are seeing people multiple times a show. Like, the club, for instance, it's like, it just, even if it's the exact same length as it's been in past weeks, the skit feels longer than it ever has before.
I think it feels longer because they're dressed like doctors talking about stuff. Can't even talk about it here on the air.
Testes. If you said ovaries, testes is fine, right?
Listen, the whole point of it is nothing has changed about Raw. They even went back to the old camera angles. At least they kept them for SmackDown. SmackDown still had the floating camera this week, so I will give them that.
Why is that not on Raw, too? I mean, I know they want
it
to make
was.
The shows.
It was for like 3 weeks, and then Kevin Dunn just got bored and went back to the way things used to be.
I don't understand. Again, this is world-class in the 80s and it's that revolutionary. I mean, where we're at, but I mean, it's just to have more camera angles, the better. I mean, obviously you can reveal too much sometimes and things like that. I mean, it's bad enough now with some of that stuff, but I mean, that's just one where it's like, I don't think that should be brand specific. That doesn't make the shows look different. That just makes your television product look better.
This from recode.net. Univision has won an auction for Gawker Media. The TV network and digital publisher has agreed to pay $135 million for the bankrupt blog at network. Univision's offer will encompass all 7 of Gawker Media's sites, including Gawker.com. Ziff Davis and Univision were the only 2 bidders for Gawker, which filed for bankruptcy after Hulk Hogan won a $140 million judgment. Ziff Davis had originally offered $90 million for Gawker, And then there's a statement here from Nick Denton. So it has been sold, and we'll find out where that money goes, how much Hulk Hogan gets, and more, I'm sure, in the coming weeks and months. So follow WrestlingObserver.com for more. Let's go to the studio line. You're on the air.
It's Dave from Wisconsin.
Yes, Dave.
Firstly, Brian, it's pronounced Una Vivion. You're not doing any favors to your Mexican roots. But I wanted to call about how absolutely offensive...
What's your Twitter handle so I can block
Miracolous Gigante here.
Jiminy Christmas.
The absolute offensive segment of having Heath Slater do concussion jokes next to Daniel
Bryan. Oh, my God. I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah, that was a pretty prick move, I thought.
Well, you know what? It wasn't even a prick move. It was just being completely, like, tone deaf.
Tone deaf.
Like, there's no way that they... I honestly don't think they did that to make fun of Daniel Bryan. I think they were just so clueless that they thought this would be really funny and didn't think about what it really was, which was a guy with a severe head injury who didn't know where he was, and they're all laughing about it.
Part of me thinks that part of me wants to believe that's the case, but just there is such another built-in part of me that's just like, this is just one of those half nasty ribs where it's just like, hey Brian, we're just ball busting, even though there is a little like knife twist in there, because all ribs do. I honestly believe that. Again, I'd like for it to believe that it was innocent, but I mean, come on. Again, this is the company, again, that, again, timing is everything, isn't it?
Worst of all, they took Heath's contract away. The man earned it.
Oh, God.
It's true, I guess, sort of.
And they're the baby faces, and when they gave him the contract, everybody cheered, and then they took it away from him.
Like, the crowd wanted him to have that contract.
I know. I don't know what's going on anymore. I also don't know why, completely at random, Naomi is a babyface again.
Because she's Naomi, and she's great. Sort of. She'll get better. I have hope for her, unlike Carmella, which, by the way, the SmackDown 6 have been added to SummerSlam, which is SummerSlam.
Actually, that, honest to God, is the reason that Naomi's randomly a babyface, because they had to do a six-person, and they had more heels than babyfaces. And so now Naomi's a babyface. That's like their entire roster in one six-person match. Can you imagine? And they're having their own title for it. Think about this. Daniel Bryan is on the SmackDown brand. Daniel Bryan wants the Cruiserweights on his brand. They have a Cruiserweight Classic that had, what, 32 guys in it? 32 guys! Even if you only hire 16 of them, that's 16 guys that you could, if you wanted to, split between two shows. But instead, they're going to put them all on one show. I just don't understand what's going on here.
Especially when all the women, you know, they fit better on Raw.
Just put all the women on Raw and put all the Cruiserweights on SmackDown. You'll have 16 on each brand, and you can actually have a division. Can you imagine a division with like 6 or 7 girls and a title? Like, who cares?
Here's the thing. At least, as dumb as this is going to sound, at least there's like bodies for, you know, the women on both of the shows. The tag teams one makes me laugh even more because... And I know they're adding bodies as they go along, but unless they're going to have, like, mix-mashed tag teams, which they may, like Curtis Axel and Jinder Mahal and stuff like this, it's the tag team ones are almost even worse.
Oh, man. Speaking of the chicken. Mm-hmm. Did you see the ESPN article, it says here, on The Miz, and that how his pairing with his wife has, quote, revitalized his career?
It's probably more fun on the road now. Get your spouse with you.
Yeah, I don't think that's revitalized The Miz's career.
That's what you think, Brian.
No, I once saw him main event at WrestleMania. Now he's dressed as a chicken in a dark segment on SmackDown. This has not revitalized his career.
Alex Riley was in the main event of a WrestleMania.
This person here says, did you watch or hear what happened on the SmackDown pre-show last night? Booker T called Daniel Bryan a racist for calling Apollo Crews Apollo Creed. Please tell me that that didn't happen.
Please tell me that it was Booker T being... I don't know if anybody's actually ever seen that show or heard Booker T when Booker T's just rolling out there being Booker T and throwing stuff at people. But I think I'd like to hear that in context before I would judge it. You know what
Not
I'm saying?
Not to mention, on SmackDown, during the break after the opening segment, Miz called him Creed... which led to Miz getting powerbombed to set up their match at SummerSlam. It turned into a storyline.
Well, people like looking for things sometimes.
This person says you would think the KFC chicken would get suspended for the all the hormones they pump into their chicken. It's not denigrate KFC.
No, I mean, I'd prefer Chick-fil-A for the sandwich, the spicy chicken sandwich, or Popeyes for the spicy chicken. But, I mean, some chicken is better than no chicken, as the Briscoes will tell you every time out.
This person also notes, Sami Zayn doesn't have a match at SummerSlam. This seems crazy to me. Yeah, especially because at the last pay-per-view, he had a match with Kevin Owens, and Sami Zayn won. He won, and he's not on SummerSlam. And Kevin Owens lost, and he is on SummerSlam. Which is why nobody cares about the results of matches in 2016. One of the reasons. Back in a moment with Jim Ross, Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network.
I'm KFC's extra crispy colonel, and you're the extra busy regular person who has to make dinner for a family of four. But you can shirk that responsibility because my extra crispy $20 fill-up from KFC contains 8 pieces of freshly double-breaded extra crispy chicken, 4 biscuits, 2 orders of mashed potatoes, and a side of coleslaw for just $20. That'll feed them. KFC, it's extra crispy good.
Pricing and participation may vary. Tax and substitutions extra.
This is Carrie Cooper for Guitar Center's Focus on Rock. Shop for the greatest selection of music gear on earth at Guitar Center. We often hear those stories about the boy or the girl behind the track, but not so often is there such a mystery behind a person featured on a record cover. Find out how one 19-year-old woman accidentally cycled into photographer Joel Bernstein's iconic shot of Bruce Springsteen on New Jersey's Asbury Park Boardwalk in 79, only to be tracked down over 30 years later by fans. With me, Carrie Cooper, over at Focus on Rock. com.
It's here. The biggest guitar sale of the year. Guitar Center's Guitarathon. Save up to 20% on over 120,000 brand name guitars, basses, and amps. Get huge deals on the hottest brands like Fender, Gibson, Taylor, Martin, and more. Over 65,000 guitars under $500. Save up to 15% off select pedals from brands like Dunlop, Boss, Digitech, and Line 6. Plus, get promotional financing on participating vendors when you use your Guitar Center gear card. Don't miss Guitarathon Thursday through Sunday, only at Guitar Center. Subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store for details.
This is Glenn Hagee, America's Master Handyman, with a Granger Tip of the Week. Many items that we depend on require batteries to operate. All batteries are not created equal. New battery technology is improving battery power and longevity. It is important to keep batteries fully charged. Only use the same size and style recommended by the manufacturer when replacing them. Be sure to insert batteries correctly to avoid any damage. And now, a word from Granger.
The safety oath. Repeat after me. I will safely bring safety to my facility and keep it safe. I will safely keep my people safe. I will put safety first in everything I do, and I will safely do so with Granger. When you think safety, think Granger. Granger's got over 100,000 safety products to help keep our facility safe and our people safer. When it comes to safety, Granger's got your back. Call clickgranger.com/safety or stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
iHeartRadio, an app so powerful, it holds 20 million songs from 450,000 artists, thousands of the best live radio stations, custom stations, and stations created just for you. It's anywhere and it's everywhere. Millions of songs, thousands of stations, one free app. iHeartRadio is that easy. Download the app today or listen online at iHeartRadio.com.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Can you believe that we went to commercial and the first thing I hear is a KFC advertisement? Ringside with Jim Ross and friends, Saturday, April 1st, Sunday, April 2nd, Plaza Live in Orlando, 2 p.m. showtime. Tickets go on sale Monday, August 22nd at Ticketfly.com. The day after SummerSlam, tickets start at $25. And Jim Ross himself joins us here on the show today. JR, how you doing?
I'm good, guys. Thanks for having me on. How are you guys doing?
Not too bad. Tell us about these shows.
Well, they're uproariously funny, extremely entertaining, amazingly creative, and I'm pretty much full of manure. But nonetheless, aside from those things, it's I've been selling out those shows at WrestleMania, and the reason we're going on sale and trying to get the word out is that last year the VIP tickets, the meet and greet facet of those shows, all three of them in Dallas sold out the first day. So we just want to let folks be aware that, you know, we're doing matinees on Saturday and Sunday of WrestleMania weekend. Not going to interfere with any other events, the big events like the WWE Hall of Fame or obviously WrestleMania. So tickets on sale the Monday after SummerSlam, which is this Monday, at Ticketfly.com, as you mentioned. And we appreciate everybody's attention and support.
Now, you've been doing this many years now. And how, in your mind, has the show evolved in the sense that it's a very hardcore crowd that goes to WrestleMania, and I'm sure that sometimes, in many cases, you'll see the same faces years after year after year as they come to your shows. How have you sort of evolved the show to give new material, tell new stories, maybe keep the old favorites?
I have, Brian, started keeping a little journal of my material that I open with, and I found that if I can do two or three stories that are fresh or are really, as you said, favorites, but more or less, more often than not, fresh, and then get right into the Q&As, the show is a better show. I think that being able to engage the audience and get them to be involved is my best show, the best way to do it, and that makes every show unique because the Q&As are the lifeblood of it, and they're always unique.
Kind of questions. I know this is kind of a generic question because you do so many of these, but when you do the Q&A sessions, do you get a lot of questions about modern day wrestling? Do you get a lot of questions about things from the 90s, Monday Night Wars, heyday in a lot of people's minds, or is it kind of a mix of everything?
It's really a mix of everything, and the questions are generally influenced by the region of the country that we're in. I did my show in Charlotte at the NWA Mid-Atlantic Fan Fest a couple weeks ago. Really a cool event, by the way. And I got a lot of questions there about Mid-Atlantic wrestling and the Crockett era because a lot of those folks were North Carolinians and grew up around that. But, you know, you go to the UK, you'll get Tommy Billington questions and Davey Boy Smith questions and William Regal questions. The questions change, and the audiences, certainly at WrestleMania, the audiences are very international. It's really diverse, so it's a little bit of everything. And I don't have any restrictions on what they can ask. I try to answer every one of them as honestly as I can and don't have any taboo topics.
You know, I've been watching the old NWA World Championship Wrestling shows on the WWE Network, and I got to ask you about David Crockett.
Oh, man.
He has a reputation of not being very good, but I kind of love David Crockett because he's so excited and into all of the matches and the angles. He loses his mind. There is an emotion that I don't see with a lot of announcers today. So maybe at the time he did suck, but certainly looking back, there's a lot of things about the guy that I love.
Well, you know, announcing is very subjective. You know, we all have our favorites over the years. And, you know, gosh, David was when they put me on that show with David and Tony Schiavone, three guys, and, you know, most people know my personal philosophy of three broadcasters, one too many, as a rule. Not always, but as a rule. And it was tough. It was challenging because, you know, everybody wanted to get their shot, you know. So, but I never had any issues working with David. He was irreverent. You know, he was just, you know, different. He was unique. And, you know, you either liked him or you didn't. And but, no, I never had any major issues with him. I thought our broadcast was better, and Mike was a big fan back then as well. As when Tony and I were together, it seemed like it was smoother, and I don't know if that was a functionality of the fact that we're just two of us and not the three.
Now, have you been watching a lot of the Cruiserweight Classic, and what are your thoughts on Daniel Bryan doing announcing? He's brand new, but he seems to be doing a great job.
Yeah, he's new, and he's green, and he's got great enthusiasm. He has a wonderful product knowledge. And the thing about it, guys, he's genuine. Is he a smooth, articulate, refined broadcaster? Not yet. But his passion his product knowledge, and his genuine love for what he's doing makes up for all that. I enjoy his work a great deal.
JR, when it comes to the cruiserweights, you know, you've been around this game for a long time, and you've seen how the designation of cruiserweights hasn't necessarily been the best sometimes for a group of guys or for guys individually. You grew up in an area, obviously, with, you know, the heroic Danny Hodge, and you saw how junior heavyweights with he and Leroy McGuirk, how these guys can be presented. Well, again, there's a lot of us who would like to see the cruiserweights be make a real splash on WWE programming at a time where they need it. I mean, do you have any philosophy as far as what these guys can do in 2016 to make sure that the mistakes of the past aren't repeated?
I think that in the past, influential wrestlers with the office, the booking office in the territory days, the Bill Watts of their generations, wrestlers in WWE when I was there in talent relations that were legit heavyweights, they didn't do the smaller guys any favors. They tried to do what they could to convince others that the smaller guys wouldn't sell tickets and they weren't exciting and they weren't marketable. I totally disagree with that. I think the cruiserweight thing that WWE is doing right now is a breath of fresh air. You get guys that are high skill sets. The only thing I would say about them that I would suggest is they, and of course this is predictable for me because I'm old, it's the product is passing by, I'm crotchety, I'm bitchy, I'm angry at everything in life, is to slow down a little bit so I can process what you're doing. And in the context of slowing down, the announcers then, while you're selling, can help put you over. A lot of wrestlers don't understand that when you sell, it's prime getting me overtime if the announcers are on the ball. So I would just say, slow down a hair, sell more, take less chances, and and tell better stories. But I love the cruiserweight stuff, and I'm not one. The funny story about that is that Sean Waltman got a check from me one time at WWE, and he was so pissed off that he asked me if I was paying him by the pound. So he had heard the same thing a lot of the guys did. You know, he broke in and he was able to be involved in a program with DX and so forth because he was friends of the family, so to speak. But a hell of a talented guy. And so he broke the mold there because he was very, very good, and he wasn't a heavyweight. He was 200 pounds, maybe.
Talk about how the announcers are right now. From what you've heard, you know, with a new setup and everybody's got to get time to get used to each other, what do you think about the crews as they stand right now with JBL and David Otunga joining Moro and Corey Graves' call up to the main roster?
I like Corey Graves a great deal. I think he's a breath of fresh air on that show. I think I would say this, and I like both guys, quite frankly. It's hard to say in a negative way, and I don't mean to be negative. I think Byron Saxon and David Otunga have to find their role. They got to find where they fit into the three-man mix. Once they master that, I think the three-man teams on both brands will be more effective, not that they're bad now. I like JBL and Morrow together. I think that's a good mix. I could use more of that, more of their interaction, quite frankly. And I think Corey Graves brings a little bit of fresh approach, a more contemporary feel to Raw, which is a good thing. So it's a work in progress, guys, but the third men, Otunga and Saxon, really got to find out, why am I here and what am I supposed to add?
I know we're kind of jumping around all over the place, but you've been everywhere and done everything, and I've been watching these old Monday Night War shows. Basically all of the Raws and Nitros starting from the debut of Nitro in 1995. And we're in 1997 now, and I lived through this. I was doing the newsletter and writing about this at the time, but I'm going back and watching it with fresh eyes. And you were there in 1997. It appears to me that this had to have been one of the craziest years in the history of the business. The Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels rivalry, Montreal, everything going down with Vince McMahon and the Monday Night Wars, guys going back and forth. Where would you rank 1997 in terms of some of the crazier years you've been involved in this business?
Well, it was dysfunctional at times, unpredictable, ever-changing. You know, it's like the weather in Oklahoma. If you don't like it, just wait around a few minutes, it'll change. Somewhat like the dysfunctional Big 12 conference, can't figure out who's going to be in the next member of the league, that kind of thing. It was unpredictable, and you couldn't celebrate a great show are good ratings, but only for a few moments, because you're on to the next one. And at best, you had 7 days to bask in your glory. And we just, you know, we're getting our ass kicked with 83 weeks in a row. We lost on Monday nights, but we thought we were doing pretty good shows. So the only thing you could do is just keep your head down and stay positive and try to motivate your team and galvanize your locker room that we just got to keep doing what we're doing and we're going to turn the corner. And luckily we did, but we had a great talent roster as well. So I give them the credit for that. But it was crazy, you know. I tell you this, fellas, it damn sure wasn't boring.
No. I just watched the hotel room interview that you did with Steve Austin right after Owen Hart dropped him on his head. And, you know, obviously Austin's doing some storyline stuff, but I'm sure he's clearly also very, very upset that he got dropped on his head and neck right when he was getting super hot. I presume that most of it was you guys sat down, they hit the camera button, and he just went. Is that sort of how it was? No real scripting, just Austin going nuts?
Yeah, it was all real, organic, a little coarse, a little raw, no pun intended. The same thing I did with the Foley and the Mankind interview was no script. I got a lot of folks that brought up lately. I did an interview before WrestleMania with Austin and Rock, where I was sitting between them. They had no script. You got the parameters from Vince that he wanted in the interview. He gave me the bullet points. It was up to me to try to be the point guard and distribute the ball. But the credit goes to, you know, Rock and Steve. You know, they delivered the goods, and I just kind of tried to stay out of their way. And the storytelling with Mick was that way. But Steve was pissed off after his injury. We didn't quite know how bad it was going to be or how it would eventually affect him. So, you know, for a guy that worked all his life to get in that spot and finally get there and then have this happen was very frustrating.
Why don't you do plug the podcast, and when we come back from the break, we'll plug the WrestleMania shows as well. But hopefully when I appear on your podcast next week, I can ask you a few questions as well, because I got a lot of Attitude-era questions, especially involving Mick Foley and Dude Love in that interview. But tell everybody about the podcast.
Well, I do a podcast for Podcast One. It's on iTunes. It's free. It's called The Ross Report. You can subscribe at iTunes for free. Get it automatically downloaded to device of your choice. It's perennially one of the top 50 podcasts in our category globally. I'm very happy with it. This week I'm talking to Taz and to Big Moose, Quinn Ochinaka, who's now with TNA Impact. And a great story from Moose. You know, didn't meet his dad after Moose had been drafted in the NFL. His mother stayed in Nigeria because she had a job. He was raised by relatives. He succeeded in high school, went to Syracuse, got a degree, and all that. So it's a great story for this guy. And then, of course, Taz and I talk about SummerSlam, me breaking the candy dish over his head.
Actually, stand by 1 second here. I hate to cut you out, but we got to head to a break. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap it up. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for prescription drugs? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get prescription drugs at huge discounts from Canada Drug Center. That's right, the most popular drugs for cholesterol, high blood pressure, depression, diabetes, arthritis, and many more are now up to 75% off. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices when you can get brand name drugs at the lowest price? Call today and get up to 75% off all the popular brand name prescription drugs. Never pay high prices again. Get the most popular drugs at huge savings from our Canadian and international pharmacies and fulfillment centers. No insurance? No problem. Prices are so low you do not need benefits or insurance to get all your prescriptions fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting to take your call now. Order today and get free shipping. Just call 800-950-1180. Up to 75% off all the popular brand name prescription drugs and free shipping. Call 800-950-1180. That's 800-950-1180.
Hi, I'm Dr. Robert Clapper, Chief of Orthopedic Surgery at Cedars-Sinai Medical Group in Los Angeles, California. dedicated to your health, your life, and your sports. As a weekend warrior, you know about sports injuries and pain. Exercise is an important element in keeping your body's core in good shape to minimize sports injuries. But when you are in pain, there is one product that I recommend to my patients, and that is Blue Goo Gel. Blue Goo consists of a proprietary formula developed specifically for the treatment of inflammation and general muscle aches and strains. I recommend Blue Goo for my patients coping with hip and knee pain before surgery, especially bursitis and tendonitis. Give Blue Goo a try. Call 1-888-330-0123 and you'll receive a 1-week supply of Blue Goo absolutely free. The makers of Blue Goo are even paying the shipping. The number again is 1-888-330-0123. If you want more information on Blue Goo, visit online at www.dothegoo.com.
Now available at select Big Five stores near you.
This is Carrie Cooper for Guitar Center's Focus on Rock. Shop for the greatest selection of music gear on earth at Guitar Center. We often hear those stories about the boy or the girl behind the track, but not so often is there such a mystery behind a person featured on a record cover. Find out how one 19-year-old woman accidentally cycled into photographer Joel Bernstein's iconic shot of Bruce Springsteen on New Jersey's Asbury Park Boardwalk in 79, only to be tracked down over 30 years later by fans. With me, Carrie Cooper, over at Focus on Rock.
It's here, the biggest guitar sale of the year. Guitar Center's Guitarathon. Save up to 20% on over 120,000 brand name guitars, basses, and amps. Get huge deals on the hottest brands like Fender, Gibson, Taylor, Martin, and more. Over 65,000 guitars under $500. Save up to 15% off select pedals from brands like Dunlop, Boss, Digitech, and Line 6. Plus, get promotional financing on participating vendors when you use your Guitar Center gear card. Don't miss Guitarathon, Thursday through Sunday, only at Guitar Center. Subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store for details.
You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. Mike Sempervivi. Jim Ross is here, ringside with Jim Ross and friends. Saturday, April 1st, and Sunday, April 2nd, WrestleMania weekend, the Plaza Live in Orlando, 2 p.m. showtime. Tickets on sale Monday, August 22nd at Ticketfly.com, the day after SummerSlam. These tickets go on sale starting at $25, and JR's podcast at podcast1.com. And JR, we got about a minute here. Anything else you want to add to any of that?
No, it's all good. I appreciate you giving the folks the information. The tickets will go fast. That's why I hope they'll jump in there on Monday. We only have 100 VIP meet-and-greet tickets per show, so they'll go fast, and look forward to seeing everybody. I know it's planning a long way off, but it's amazing on my Twitter, at JRSBBQ, you still get a lot of questions about my shows at WrestleMania. People are planning already to go in Orlando.
That's right, at JRSBBQ. Last year, they had a special deal for WrestlingObserver.com subscribers getting into the meet-and-greet, and it's a lot of fun. There's surprises there. It's a great show. I've gone, I think, every year now, and I'm sure this year will be no exception. So check out at JR's BBQ on Twitter. Just Google Jim Ross. Everything you need is up there. And Podcast One for the podcast. I will be on there next week. And JR, I want to thank you today, and I guess I'll talk to you on Monday.
Absolutely. Look forward to it. You got to bring it now, kid. You got to bring it.
I know.
Counting on you.
You're there to carry me. That's no how pressure. This thing works. We call it in the okay. Ring. All right. Thanks as always. And of course, we are out of time, everybody. We're here Monday through Friday, live and free on Sports Byline USA. You can find us on the TuneIn Radio app, searching Sports Byline USA, Wrestling Observer Live. I want to thank Mike as always, all the folks at Sports Byline USA, JR, callers and listeners. We'll talk to you again next time, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.